Good morning, Faith Life Church. It's so good for us to be together again and celebrate this Sunday morning as well as Mother's Day. You know, church, it's a tradition in our house that we really celebrate our mothers with a gift and prayer. And so today, that's what we want to do as well. We just want to honor you and thank you for your contribution as mothers and wives in your homes. We thank you that you're builders. You're not home wreckers, but you're home builders. And you're building your home. And we want to really cherish that and cherish you guys today. We want to thank you that you're women of honor and you're women who build. We just want to thank you that you have hearts that are generous, that you extend your hands. Your hands are hands of healing. Your hands are hands of comfort. Your hands are there to support and guide. And we just want to thank you for all of your words that you are speaking into the lives of your children and your family. We thank you that your words are words of life, words of healing, instruction and teaching and admonishment into your family. They're not words that are tearing down and pulling down, but words that are building up. So thank you, women. We honor you. We honor you in your role as mother. Maybe you're a grandmother or a mother-in-law, you're a foster mom or a caregiver in some way, a spiritual mother maybe. We want to say thank you. We want to honor you on this Mother's Day. And you know, I was really struck by a scripture in Proverbs 31:31, and this is what it says. So go ahead and give her the credit that is due, for she has become a radiant woman, and all her loving works of righteousness deserve to be admired at the gateway of every city. I just want to say, this is so exciting that we have an opportunity to celebrate you mothers, to say thank you. Thank you for those late nights where you've been comforting your children. Thank you for the way that you've demonstrated the love of God in your homes. Thank you that you've been a builder. And thank you that you have created an atmosphere where your children can flourish, where your household comes together. You've given of yourself, you've given of your time. You've given, when you were absolutely exhausted, you were able to pull on that incredible tenacity that is in the heart of every woman. And we admire you, we love you, we thank you for everything you do. And we want to honor you today. So to all the mums out there, Pastor Ted and I, we love you, we thank you. We want to say happy Mother's Day. Have a wonderful celebration today. The whole day, celebrate, do what you want to do, and give yourself permission just to enjoy the moment. And we just say, church, let's just love on our mums today. So wherever you are, give your mum a call or go and give her a big hug and just cherish her. Give her the credit that's due her because of all her works that she's done. You know, the world wouldn't be where we are today without women. So we want to really shout out to them. And I'm so excited now to be able to introduce to you my amazing husband, Pastor Ted Fabianic, who I love and adore, and I want to honor him as well as the pastor of the house, that he's come to share a word of revelation to you. You know, the word of God says that it's alive, it's living, and it's able to build you up. So today, open up your heart as you receive his message in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Hey, good morning, Faith Life, on this amazing Mother's Day. Today, I want to just share something that continuation from what we did last week is whatever we rest in, we set in motion, and what we set in motion gives us momentum. Today, I want to just download on you what the word grace, the momentum of grace. Grace is so amazing. I thought I understood grace, but the more and more that I interact with God, the more and more I interact with people, I am realizing, as Peter said, in 1 Peter 4:10, he said, the manifold grace of God. That means that grace is multifunctional. Grace is multifaceted. It spreads open. It is everywhere you look in the scripture. And I've realized something about grace. Grace exposes a need, and then it pours out the answer in a generous fashion. So grace seeks out need and then shows the generosity. So what God does, he sees a need and then he generously meets a need. So that's just one facet of grace. And I want to just share, we've been talking about, you know, the Passover in all the way through the Passover, grace is everywhere that you look. Grace is found in so many ways. I want to read to you in Exodus, and what I love about this scripture is that God is explaining what he has just performed for the children of Israel. So what we learned before is that the best interpretation or definition of words and statements is the Bible itself. So here's God now talking to the children of Israel, because if they forget what's happened, they will rely on something else. Now have a look at Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 to 6. I want to read it to you out of the Message Bible. And it says this: as Moses went up to meet God, God called down to him from the mountain, "Speak to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel." Just put yourself there right now. God says he's speaking to you. So this message is now for you. "You have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to me. If you will listen obediently to what I say and keep my covenant, out of all the people you will be my special treasure. The whole earth is mine to choose from, but you're special, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. This is what I want you to tell the people of Israel." In a sense, what my excitement is today is I feel like God is saying that I need to tell this to you. I feel like I'm standing in from God and talking to you to right where you are. And I want to emphasize these words. He says, "How I carried you on eagle's wings." So the word carried, again, is a multifaceted word. The word carried can be interpreted as to lift up. So when the word carried means he lifted you up. So what we find is when there's a rest of grace, when you understand grace, it lifts you up and gives you direction. And what's amazing with this is when God carries you, he always carries you upward. So therefore, when he starts to carry you, he has a destination. Now, the reason we need to be carried, or the reason we need the grace, is this: is it took grace and it took the power of God to take you, take me, take the whole human nations out of Egypt, out of slavery. But it's the power that takes you out of slavery is also the power that takes you into the promises. So when God starts to say, "I carried you," it means that I will keep on carrying you. So I had to carry you out of slavery because you had no means to do it yourself. And where the foundation for that is this, is when Adam sinned, he went and hid from God. Adam had no redemptive or grace qualities. So he had no idea on how to get to God. He had no idea how to fix what he has just done. And it was the initiative of God that came to him. So what we find is that God says, "You were in prison, you were in your need, you had all of these things against you, and you had no means to actually move out to where you are." So when grace comes in and he says, "I carried you." So therefore, the first thing we realize this word grace, or the word carried, is this: that he stoops down, picks you up, and he takes you upward. Notice something. He never takes you down. He never goes, "I'm here to depress you. I am here to lower you." But what he says is, "I have come to carry you." That means when he has it, the momentum is always going to carry you upward, and the momentum will always carry you to the destination that God has for you. So when the Bible says, "I carried you," it means it keeps on carrying and carrying and carrying. So God doesn't do this. God doesn't carry you out of sin and then puts you down and says this to you: "Okay, now that you're no longer a sinner, go and make a good life. Just go for it. Do whatever you need to do. Use your own initiative." But God says this: "I started this journey by carrying you, and this journey will be, you will be carried, and I will carry you to your destination." The other part of the word carried, you can be interpreted as this: it's a burden carrier. It's someone that carries the heavy weight. So when God comes in and says, you have a weight on your life. Now, just talk about weight for a moment. There's a weight on when you're thinking, man, I need to pay the bills. There's a weight, the weight of responsibility. So when we start moving and we go, wow, I've got a weight. I'm a father, you know, I'm a pastor. There's so many weights that I carry, and some of them I get heavy. And God says, when I said I will carry you, I will also carry your burdens. So God says, I've got this heavy weight that I want to lift up and carry it. And the other part, this word carried, we'll find in Psalm 85 verses 1 and 2, it also can be interpreted as forgiveness. So when God says, I carry you, I pick you up and I carry you upward and I carry your burden, but I also forgive your sins. I also take the separation that separates you from me. So when we get this word carried, it is multifunctional. And so what's really amazing, just think about this. The Bible says, when Jesus was talking about himself, unless the Son of Man is lifted up, he cannot draw all men unto him. So what we find that the word lift up is in the gospel message. To carry burdens is the gospel message as well. Because when you look at Isaiah 53, he says he bore our burden, or he carried our sorrows. He carried our sickness and the forgiveness of sin. Now, the most fascinating part about this scripture is this. I carried you on eagle's wings. Now, I've gone past this, and then when you study eagles. Eagles are fascinating birds, and it's interesting that he uses this phrase, I carried you on wings of eagles. So the wings of eagles that you brought me to. Now, you know what's really interesting with eagles? Is that they are, as a bird species, no bird flies higher than they do. And second is that it says it carries its young on its wings. Every other bird, when they want to carry the young, they put it under them, but an eagle puts it on top. Now, the reason being is this, an eagle has no predators except man. And in the season that this is written, in the generations, the way they would kill eagles is to shoot arrows. So every other bird has to be protected. But this is what the Father says. Now I fly, I'm going to put you on my wings and I'm going to fly higher than any other predator. But there is one predator that is shooting arrows at you. And this is what it means. It means when I carried you on the wings of eagles, it comes back from this way, is that no, anybody that tries to shoot you will hit me first and not you. In Exodus 14, we have a picture of this, that the children of Israel leave Egypt. They come to the Red Sea and they're going, we don't know what to do. And behind them is the Egyptian army. It is the Pharaoh's army, the elite of the elite, is coming to get them. And this is what the Bible says, that he stood between them. So there was, they were on one side, the Pharaoh's army on this side, and he says, I was between your adversaries. I was in between. So what it means that is this, when I bore you on wings and eagles, he says, I put you above me. So it comes into, I want to read you something that's really fascinating. It is a rabbinic statement that is made like this. Better the arrow you should pierce, better that the arrow should pierce me than my young. Just blows you away. Just pause for a moment. What he's saying. He goes, I put you above me. And if an arrow, if somebody wants to kill you, if somebody wants to wound you, if somebody wants to capture you, I'll stand in between. And you get this picture in Exodus 14, where Pharaoh is coming, the children of Israel. And if you are the Pharaoh's army, you'd be thinking, you'd be laughing, you'd be going, hey, how good is this? They've got no weaponry. They're not trained. This is just, it's a one-way battle. And as they are coming, God says, I'm going to carry you on the wings of eagle. So what does he do? He steps in and he says, I'm coming between you and your enemy. So I want you to see, when we're talking about you being carried, we're talking about sitting in grace, is that God has removed you from being on the bottom. He has put you on the top. You can start to hear Deuteronomy 28. You are the head and not the tail. You're not the least, you're the best. So when you start moving, the word carry means that God picks you up and he takes full responsibility to get you where he wanted to get you. So he says, I'm like an eagle. I have taken you up. And so that if anything happens, it has to go through me. So here we can rest in the fact that if you think something's trying to get you, if you think sickness is trying to get you, if you think fear is trying to get you, if you think all of these, God says, I'm standing in between, I'm standing in between, I'm standing in between. I want you to notice something when you look through the scripture. This is such a powerful concept. It's got to go from here to here. That grace says this, I picked you up, I'm carrying you. I need you to rest while I carry you. I need you to be seated in a position where you are resting. It's because it's not your effort. See, what when he says, I carried you, he was saying to the children of Israel, don't forget, you couldn't get out of Egypt yourself. Don't forget, you couldn't get rich by yourself. Don't forget, you couldn't break the bondages by yourself. So I came in, I carried you. But that was also meant to bring in the momentum that once God did that, he said, I want you to realize this is how I work. I want you to realize that I will never carry you and get tired and put you down. You know, and I remember as a dad taking my kids for long walks, and we start off, really full of energy, and then you carry them, and then you carry them, and then you get tired. Your arms start to ache, and they start to quiver, they start to burn, and then you go, I've got to put you down because Papa's tired, Daddy's tired. But you know what? God says, I started to carry you, so what makes you think that I'm going to put you down? What makes you think that one day, I heard this a message that really troubled me one day, and it was about this. Is that God, it was this message, and the context was God sometimes moves out of the way so an arrow can hit you so he can keep you humble. I remember looking at that, I go, that's just so wrong. That is so unscriptural, because God said, I put you on the wings of eagles. And you know what the beauty with this is? Is if you're looking upward, all you see is the eagle, you don't see the chicks that it's got on its wings. So the key on what grace is telling us is that God carries you. That means, and you find this, when you have a look at the word lift up, Jesus was lifted up and put on the cross. Your sin, your sicknesses were picked up and put on him. He carried away your sicknesses. He carried away your diseases. So today, well, this is an awesome day, that today you need to see yourself that between the enemy and you, there's the Father. He's going, better to be pierced than the piercing the ones we love. That's how much Jesus loves you. That's how much it is absolutely awesome. Now, I just want to show you, how do you stay seated? So how do we stay that I've carried? I want to be carried. So how do I get carried? I love it. Timothy comes up like this. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I used to go, well, okay, how do you marry what I've just said into this? How do I resist? You know what? Just think about it this way. I'll have to slow my speech down a little bit. I've got so much that I want to say. Is this. Is that you are now being carried. You're in a seated position. You now have momentum, you now have direction, you now have destiny, you now have protection. You are cocooned. You are quarantined in the grace of God. You are quarantined in the forgiveness of God. So where's the problem? Here's the thing. Satan goes, I can't touch you when you're seated. I can't touch you when you're being carried, because when you are carried, all I've got to go through God, and that's impossible. So guess what his job description is? How do I get you to stand up and not be carried? So this is where the temptation comes in. He comes in, I don't want you seated. I don't want you relaxed. I don't want you resting. I want you to be working. I want you to fight me. So what he's saying is this, is that I can't fight you while God is protecting you. I can't touch you while God is protecting you. But if you will get up, walk out of where you are and fight me. And I go, and this sort of hit me the other day while I was praying and meditating. He goes, so how do you fight? You fight with grace. How do you fight with grace? Like this. Satan comes up and you're seated and you go, hey, you're not that forgiven. Oh, come on, there's still things. You're forgiven like 99.9%. There's this one ounce little bit that you need to do. You got to put a bit of energy to complete it. You know what you do? What you do is you stand up to the devil by sitting down. You go to him in your seated position. Hey, I am 100% forgiven. My forgiveness is secure because my forgiveness rests on the finished work of Jesus, not my own effort. See, by staying seated and proclaiming your position, you are standing up to the devil. It is like sickness comes knocking on your door. Hey, you got a cough, you got a bit of a sneeze. Oh, come on, you got the virus, you got this ache, you got this ache. You know what? It's like you say, come on, fight. Get up out of your rest. And you go, I'm going to sit in. So you stand up to the devil in your seated position. You go, Satan, Jesus has carried away all of my sicknesses, all of my diseases. And that's how you stand up to the devil in a seated position. Isn't it amazing that you can fight from your armchair? You can fight from your relaxation. You can fight because grace says, if you sit in me and proclaim it, so when Satan wants to get you out of your seated position, and you go, no, see, when fear comes, and you go, oh, come on, it's too simple. You've got to do this. You have to. God says, no, stay seated. Fear, you cannot touch me because I am seated in the love of God, and perfect love casts out all fear. See, by you sitting in a seated position in the grace of God, you are standing up to the devil. If the devil comes in and you go, hey, you know, we're in quarantine, and I've just noticed stuff about my relationship, you know, all of this stuff, and you come in, no, I'm seated, is that God is looking after my marriage. God is looking after my children. And you see, the way we fight, the way we do this is we stay in a seated position. You know what the Bible says? Satan cannot do anything to anyone in a seated position. See, the Bible says, just resist him. Do you know what the resistance there is? Resist the temptation of getting up and trying to fix yourself. I'm indebted to Pastor Mike Cornell. I was in a meeting with him, and it now makes sense. I was in a meeting, and he said, stop trying to save yourself. And I forgot the rest of the message. If Mike, you're listening to this, thank you. And I just realized something. Is that, why am I fixing myself? Because when I am under grace, grace is working in and through me. But the moment I stand up, I'm leaving grace and I'm trying to fix it yourself. And this is what the Bible means. It says, I want to carry you. Hey, here's the good news on Mother's Day. Best Mother's Day present is that God has chosen to stand in front of your enemy and hide you in his love and in his presence. Wow. To me, that's just the reassurance of God that I am, my fight now is not with the devil. My fight is now, I don't want to stand up from the position of grace. I don't want to stand up from a position that I'm trying to fix myself. So this morning, God has spoken to you. God has spoken to your family. Right now, as in a family, when I think about my family, my Father is standing between me and everything that's trying to destroy me. So I am secured. So an eagle flies so high that no predator can get him, but the arrows can sometimes fly higher. And God says, I'm putting myself between you and your enemy. And God says, I want you to resist the temptation of trying to fix it yourself. Resist the temptation of using your own energy. It's called the law. It's called, I'm trying to get good enough. So when Satan says, hey, you know what? Why don't you try a little bit harder? You're going to, I don't have to try because it's the finished work of the cross. So watch this. This is it's in closing. I want you to picture the cross right now. The Bible says, we said the word carried means to lift up. Jesus was lifted up and put on the cross. And what was also lifted up? Your burdens were lifted. Your heavy weights were lifted and then put on the cross. And guess what? So we've learned that carried means you're lifted up with a specific direction. Number two, we learned that the word carried means to lift off a heavy weight. And third, we learned that the same word carried is also used in forgiveness. So everything that was on you was to put on Jesus, and he carried it. So right now, you are in a great position for a miracle. You are in a great position because the Bible says grace works by faith. So God has given you the faith. God has given you the grace. I want you right now is, why don't we pray in a moment? Why don't we just say, God, I'm tired. I'm trying to fix things myself. I'm trying to carry this myself. But right now, I want to resist. I want to stand up to the devil by sitting in your grace. So let's pray. Father, I just pray for every single family. Father, right now, I just pray for all the mums that are carrying the burdens. That if they're solo mums and you got your finances, you haven't got a father at home, you feel like you're alone. Father, I just thank you that right now you are ministering to every solo mum. Father, right now, I just thank you that you are lifting weights of households that are in quarantine where there is friction. Father, you are lifting that friction off. Father, I thank you for those that are sick right now. That, Father, your word said that you carried our sicknesses and our diseases. So, Father, I just pray healing to everyone. And Father, and also, Father, all those that are struggling in their finances, that are struggling in provision, that when you carried them, you carried them out of poverty into the promised land. And so, Father, I just thank you. And so, Father, right now, we commit ourselves that we want to be carried. We want to be settled down on your wings. We want to move. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray for every household that we will stand up to the devil. We will stand up to fear. We will stand up to sickness by sitting in the grace and the love and the favor of God. Father, I bless everybody that's hearing this. I bless every family. I bless every person that they would be in a restful, seated position in the finished work of Jesus. Praise you, thank you for all what you have done and all that you are going to do in Jesus' name. God bless you. We will see you next week.